Hi, I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Brandon Levins.
And welcome to our discussion of all things awesome.
You are currently listening to
Two Geeks, Two Beers, and a Podcast.
Hi everyone, how's it going? I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Brandon Levins.
It is Wednesday, July 27th, 2011, and you're listening to Two Geeks, Two Beers,
and a podcast.
Woo!
I think you found the future, we should do that name together.
I think so. I definitely think so.
We could re-record, but we're lazy, so.
Well, yeah.
Since this is the first show, and I've already gotten us off track of the outline we sat here and made, I figured that we should probably first tell you guys what you can expect in the show, so you can either decide to stay or tune us out right now.
All
right.
This show is going to focus on a wide variety of things. The main focus, of course, will be about topics such as comics, movies, tabletop, and video gaming, online gaming, what have you. Basically, it's going to be this nice little nest of everything geek culture.
And by tabletop gaming and online gaming, he's referring to role-playing. Online role-play, tabletop role-play. Me and Massey are actually both role-players, so
yes.
There's probably going to be a little bit of a role-playing bent on here, but we're more than role-players, and so we're going to talk about more than that. And we're also more than geeks, so we're going to talk about more than just geek stuff. We're going to talk about, well, as the title suggests, beer.
Yep.
Yeah, even today we've got a beer that we're going to review. Now let's explain exactly our stances on this issue. I am the novice. I really have not met a beer outside of a very select few, Danger Brewery, that I liked.
Nice name drop there,
yes.
By the way.
Well, I love those guys. they made me love beer. So
hey, you know what? I said that I was going to give those guys a shout out on the first episode. So
I already did it.
Yeah, Danger Brewery. Check those guys out on the Fear the Boot forums. These guys make some excellent.
Check
beer
them guys. Out wherever they are. I don't care if you have to drive somewhere.
They make some excellent beer.
Probably don't show up at their houses because I don't know if they want that.
Well, I might show up at their house. I'm like, hey, I'm kind of out of Woodchuck Cider. So.
Woodchuck cider.
Well, their idea of Woodchuck cider.
As delicious as the Woodchuck cider was.
Yes. Yeah. They make some excellent brew, and as a matter of fact, I have a list that I should bring up about it. What we're going to do right now is we're going to do a 24-ounce Stella Artois. This beer has been around since 1366. There are buildings in Europe that are not that old. This right here is...
It's because they keep building them. If they stopped building buildings, then that claim wouldn't be so out there.
Well, yeah, true, but...
As I am the novice, he is the beer expert on this show. I don't know if he's actually a beer expert or not.
Well, I'm enough that I can say it and back it up when it matters most. But anyways, this is a lager from Belgium, and it is very crisp. Immediately, I'm getting hints of what they've used.
He smells his beer, so that means that he's a sophisticated person. Whereas I'm just going to drink it and say if I like it or not.
Yes,
he's got
yes,
all these
yes.
adjectives. I'm going to say, it tastes bad.
He's like, got adjectives.
So if
I've got adjectives, he's got a verb.
If you're into listening to beer people, you got my friend here. And if you just want to know if it tastes good to a palate that's completely and totally unenlightened.
Basically, if you've never had your beer cherry popped, this is the guy to represent you.
Hello.
So, all right, cool. Anyways, bottoms up.
All right, clink.
To the first show. All right. Now that, I think, is pretty good. I know exactly what you're going to say. It's bitter.
I wasn't going to say that until 5 seconds ago, and it's still getting bitterer in my mouth.
Yep.
Like, it wasn't bad, and I got a huge bit of the head foam stuff in my mouth.
All
and
right.
It kept getting bitterer and bitterer, and I don't like bitter.
I know you don't. Not a lot of people do in their beer. Yeah. Well, what I'm smelling, just kind of, if you've washed these or not, but I'm kind of getting soap for a second. But then I'm also getting...
Well, they are disposable plastic cups.
Yes.
I know I'm a heathen, but this is what we had on short notice. Disposable plastic.
I'm getting hints of your basic hops and what have you. It does taste like a Belgian beer, your traditional Belgian lager. It's a bit bitter, so if you've never really gotten accustomed to...
A bit bitter.
Yeah, a bit bitter.
That's like saying the ocean is a little wet, but...
you had those hop beers. You know how hoppy a beer can get. This right here, on a hop scale, out of 1 to 10, I'm going to go ahead and give this kind of median range. I'm going to give this a 5, because this is definitely something that's kind of hoppy that you probably wouldn't want to try on your first beer. Honestly, I think if you want to go with the first beer... Maybe go with the Blue Moon. We'll review that in a later episode. But this...
You mean what I wanted to get to for tonight?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well, shit, you tasted it.
Yes, we had Blue Moon the other night, okay? And
yes.
We're going to talk about that because Blue Moon was a beer that made me a believer in beer again.
There you go. There's always one out there to raise your hopes and then another to just dash them. This is a very good beer. This is a very good intermediate beer if you're still just kind of getting into it, but you've already had, like, you know, a couple of different craft beers here and there. Definitely check this one out because this one's kind of underrated. I like it. I don't know. Out of 5 stars, I'll go ahead and give it a 3.75 out of 5 stars. What would you give it?
Well, I was used to the 1 out of 10 rating we were giving it back when we were doing the first run of this my dorm room.
All right, fine. Then we'll go ahead and do the 1 out of 10. Okay. So just completely forget what I just said.
Well, with 5 being take it or leave it, I think it's probably a 4 for me.
So it's less than take it or leave
it's
it.
It's less than take. I'm not going to, like, drink it again. It's not something that I personally am going to go out and want to drink again. Like, maybe, I don't know, as my palate matures as it probably will over this show, which I hope not.
Because I hope so.
I don't know. Then we're just going to be 2 beer snobs here.
Well, that's true, but, like, here's the thing. There's going to be so much spread over a period of time that it's going to be, like, the growth of a beer connoisseur, so. It's going to be interesting to listen to. But, yeah, what was your final rating? You rated it a 4. I'm going to go ahead and give this, out of 10, 7, very weak 8. Because while it is a unique beer in a sense, and it's an old enough beer to make you go, well, wait, holy crap. There's Flying Dog, and they kind of do this just a little bit better in different variations. So, if, you know, this isn't really what you're looking for. You can always find variations on this style, and there's always going to be something else out there. But just to get you into, say, Belgian beers, this one's a pretty good one to start with. So go ahead, pick up a 6-pack, and share it with your bros. So.
Or get Woodchuck Cider.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hate it. Let's drink Woodchuck.
Yes, I hate it. Let's drink Woodchuck. Getting back to the beer, I just tried to take another drink of it. And yeah. It's still incredibly bitter. Still. So even the second chance opinion, not good. Sorry, I cut you off.
All right, well, moving on. As everybody knows, the San Diego Comic-Con just left.
So we're into geek news now.
Yes, we're on to geek news.
Geek news. I like geek news.
I do, too. I really do, especially when it involves things that I can buy.
What are you buying?
What am I buying? Well, I'm definitely buying the relaunch of Superman, Batman, basically anything except for Hawkman that's coming out with the DC relaunch, I'm getting. Cool to have a bunch of those number ones, and genuinely, I want to see what they're going to do with the story.
If I followed comics, I am also not a really big comic person. I think that the only comic that I've ever really truly collected was Kick-Ass.
Actually got me into Kick-Ass.
Yeah, it's not that, like, I don't like comics. I love superheroes. It's just that I don't have the money to spend on them. And collecting comics is very expensive when you have to go out there each, you know, month and buy the new issue and follow 500 issues.
That's actually, one, why they're doing this. They're basically cutting down their stock into 50 different issues, and it's of every superhero that they have there. In some instances, they're cutting out different superheroes, and then in others, they're kind of like, okay, well, where can we trim the fat on this one?
So this is the spell plague of the comic universe. The universe which has become so bloated and overbeared with gods that the huge plague is coming through and they're wiping all these, you know, lesser beings out so that the few people can rise.
To cut off your,
like Wizards of the Coast did in 4th edition.
Pretty much. So, you know, you're not going to get a barbarian in your 1st edition rulebook. You know, it's going to be a very basic tale. And one of the reasons, besides the fact that they want to get people back into comics for this and make people feel like you, these issues have been running for so long now that they're up into the 500s. And people are intimidated by that, and they don't want to get into comics.
I can completely agree with. I have an issue where I can't just sit down in the middle of a TV show and really watch it. I have to watch it from the beginning, which was actually the biggest reason why it took me so long to get into Doctor Who, because it was this unassailable giant of a franchise that was over in Britain, which was competing against
Star Trek and stuff that.
I'm not Star Trek. To be honest, my family is a huge Stargate family. We watched it. We own all of the Stargate SG-1 seasons upstairs, so I get warm and fuzzies when I think about Stargate.
All right.
Because it had gods in it, and I like the gods' mythology, and I liked how they tied all the thing together and stayed, for the most part, internally consistent with their rules.
Not to be a dick, but to get you back on topic, because you just went on a huge tangent.
Okay,
there.
All right. Well, this is the show.
Yes, this is the show. Although, I do want to have a discussion with you on Stargate, because I have started getting more and more into that.
All right.
By the way, I think the movie's kind of but to basically...
We're just going to do drive-bys and then not talk about stuff. Okay.
Oh, no, totally.
Oh, by the way, this crap. Now on to the next topic. And...
Yeah. No, but here's the thing. To get back on to what you were saying, though, how you felt intimidated by, like, say, Doctor Who and stuff like that, I think genuinely people are intimidated by that kind of stuff. And, like, getting into, you know, DC Comics, what they're trying to do is they're basically trying to say, hey, look, it's not that hard to get into this. Here's a series of issues that you can pick up and you can start following the storyline immediately. And you have no reason to say that you can't go out and get them because you can download them on your iPod.
The iPad?
You can download it on your iPod, your iPad, your iPhone. There's an app for that.
Okay. All right. So, well, that's still likely something that costs money, which is not something that I have an abundance of.
Like 99 cents for an issue.
Okay, well, if I... I'm a poor college student, and I'm fat, so I'd rather eat than read comic books when I can go online and, you know...
Damn it, I'm gonna live Spartan. Actually, I was trying to go somewhere with that, though, with the whole reason why they're rebooting this story. Part of the reason why they're rebooting DC, from what I've heard, is because the family that was related to the people who created Superman are basically claiming copyright on the story of how Superman became Superman. So basically, Smallville, Superman 1, and any origin story has to go through them now. Like, if they were to try and do anything after that, they have to go through this family. The court upheld this, so now you got Superman with no red trunks on, and he's got kind of a different backstory now. Same old Superman. Oh, and they got rid of Lois Lane as his love interest.
Okay.
So...
I've never really cared that much for Superman because he was a golden boy and had very little problems and was a caricature of... I'm sorry, he never seemed like that deep of a character to me. So they got rid of Lois Lane. All right.
You know, it's funny because, like, you talk about he was never a deep character, and I can agree with you on that so much because it was like he really is this boring character. He's like this really boring, just, oh, I can take a bullet. Oh, I can take a punch. Boom, save the day. And then they had to bring in an enemy that was made out of fucking kryptonite to kill him. Living, breathing kryptonite.
I will say, though, that the concept of the death of Superman, from what I've heard and what I've read, I thought that the concept of the death of the hero that everyone thought was going to be around, and not like cheapening it by making someone else take his place, but really there being a vacuum there and exploring what that would do was a very interesting concept.
Having said that, that's why the death of Spider-Man will never...
Yeah.
It will never work.
I was about to get into that because I have a interesting relationship with Spider-Man. He was actually the comic book hero that I first bonded with when I was pretty well into my teens because the Spider-Man movies came out.
Yes.
And the first Spider-Man movie came out, and a childhood friend, family friend, their entire family went to the movies, and this is the report that I have that during the movie, one of the family members just... kept looking at the screen. He's like, I can't enjoy this movie. That looks like Brandon on the screen. Because when I was younger, I looked like Tobey Maguire. I've had like over 40 people who said that to me. I've since gained a whole lot of weight, grown a beard, and there thus far I don't really look that much like Tobey Maguire.
Now you look like an emaciated Leon Russell, but
okay. All right,
with short hair. You know, Spider-Man, I don't know what they're doing with Spider-Man nowadays, but I really don't like what they're trying to do with Spider-Man, and I'm not going to get into the trailer, but I will say
we've got a special person who wants to talk about that, and hopefully we can work out technical issues and learn how to do podcasts so that this guest can be on the show and give his two cents, because I really want to... hear it.
We'll give you two hints as to who we're trying to get.
No, we're not going to give any hints.
I'm just going to give a hint.
No, we're not. We're going to let it be a surprise.
Fine.
If this person wants to announce that, they can. All right?
All right, fine. Very well.
If this person writes us and says, give hints, I don't care.
By the way, you can write us at twogeeks2beers@gmail.com.
Yes, or contact us on Facebook, facebook.com/twogeeks2beers. We'll give that stuff again at the end of the episode. Well, back to what we were talking about, Spider-Man.
Yes.
Like, you showed me the death of Spider-Man, and when you first told me that they were killing off Spider-Man...
Correction, Ultimate Spider-Man, by the way. This has no effect on the regular universe.
Okay,
but...
Well, that's another thing. There's so many different universes, it's hard to keep track of exactly which it is. Kind of like how you put both cups there, so I don't really know which is which. I saw it, and not only was it... It didn't look like a death. He was there, he was in the person's arms, and he collapsed. This is kind of coming a long line of bad decisions for Spider-Man in the comics that I've heard of, which has made me glad I'm not following the comics so that I can't be disappointed.
Oh, God. Let's see. Where do we start? One more day. Brand new day.
Brand new day.
Oh, my God.
His marriage to Mary Jane never happened.
I'm going to sell my soul so that I can have everything back. But yeah. Oh, no, there's no Mary Jane. Oh, shut up.
So that his aunt.
Aunt May doesn't die. And
Aunt May doesn't die. And the woman, I'm sorry, she's an old woman. She's likely got 20 years left in her. She's going to die anyway.
I wouldn't even say 20. I would say, God.
I'm being generous. I'm giving her 20 years. Of course, this is a comic book, so she can be replaced by an android at any point.
Hell, if you want to be that generous, I'll give her 30. I really think that they've dropped the ball with Spider-Man in the past. I guess what they're trying to do here is they kind of ran out of ideas, and this was around the same time that the movies were kind of coming out, so they must have been like, well, crap, we need to do something that's going to get talked about, and it got talked about all right.
Probably not in the way they wanted it to, unless you think that any publicity is good publicity. I didn't read comic books, and I heard about this. Of course, my response wasn't, oh my gosh, you have to see this. It was, wow, that's foolish.
Pretty much. Like, it's, oh God, it was so, I remember reading that and just wanting to tear the pages off.
Like, I remember hearing other things like that about after Civil War with Norman Osborn becoming Iron Patriot.
Pretty much.
The more I heard about it, the more I'm like, gosh, I want to get into that. I want to listen to that one.
Like, they did something where, like, he became the head of the Dark Avengers, and meanwhile, there's all this crap going on between
Didn't
S.H.I.E.L.D.
he become the head of S.H.I.E.L.D.? No. And he turned it to Hammer or
I'm
something
not,
like that?
I'm not entirely certain. I don't think he was Hammer, but I think it was like... No, he did Dark Avengers. He became the head of the Dark Avengers, and they got Venom in there and all these people.
I think we're talking about two separate occurrences here, because I remember he ousted Tony Stark and took over his entire company, basically.
Yeah.
And had all the power armors, and that's when he made himself Iron Patriot, and he designed Little Thing into a star design, and the one thing I remember reading about that is that because he designed it into a star design, it produced less power. So he made himself weaker for vanity, just so that he could be the Iron Patriot.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, you know, you make it a circle, you put a little stencil thing over it, it's still a star, man! Aren't you supposed to be, like, one of the smartest people in the universe, and you can't figure that out?
I mean, the simple thing is, like, yeah, have the circle, and then just put the chest plate over it.
Yeah,
like
that's exactly what I was saying.
I mean, Tony Stark made that in a lab, with a pile of scraps.
Yes, but
in a cave.
In
a cave.
In reference to that, I will say this, more of the more recent movies are what has been getting me more into comic books and comic book heroes.
Yeah.
Like, the movie Spider-Man, as I've explained, got me into liking Spider-Man and wanting to understand Spider-Man and learning more about Spider-Man. And yeah, I haven't been able to purchase because I don't have that much discretionary income to go out and buy comic books. But if I did, I would.
I really got into Spider-Man in the early 90s. Back when Maximum Carnage was going on. You know, you had a bunch of video games coming out too. I was reading the comics, I was watching the animated series. And then right around, I think, 98, 99, there was a series that came out, and it was really cool. A lot of people are going to give me crap for this, but I did kind of like the Clone Wars. Basically,
you enjoyed that piece of crap movie about Star Wars?
Shut up. Shut up. That never happened.
A lot of things in Star Wars have never happened.
The thing is, they had this thing called the Clone Saga, and basically what ended up happening was Peter Parker ends up finding out that his whole life's been a lie or something, and then, you know, in comes this guy named Ben Reilly who looks just like him and is his clone, and he takes over as Spider-Man and yada, yada, yada. Meanwhile, Peter Parker's trying to start a life. And there was some really cool stuff going on with there, and I just remember the Revelations Part 4. If you've never seen that, I think you can find it online. There's some really cool stuff that happened there. It's got some of my favorite artwork. I really like the Ben Reilly Spider-Man costume. I really do. Which, by the way, Spider-Girl uses now, so...
Getting back to the main point we were talking about, or the main tangent we were talking about here, mm-hmm. was about
Spider-Man?
Superhero movies.
Superhero movies.
Originally, I didn't like Batman. It's mainly because my only experience with Batman were the George Clooney movies.
George Clooney was technically only in one movie.
I could have sworn he was in two.
No, it's Michael Keaton, Batman, Batman Returns, Val Kilmer, Batman Forever, George Clooney, Batman and Robin. That's it.
Okay, well then, Val Kilmer and George Clooney.
Yes.
They were the same.
All you had to say was the Schumacher movies. Yeah,
the Schumacher movies. That's the ones that I saw. And while, for some reason, I liked Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze, I enjoyed that for some reason. Maybe that was because I was a kid.
But, let's kick some ice.
Well, there's bad puns, and it seemed that in those movies, that Batman's only superpower was he could pull gadgets out of his butt. He made no reference to the fact that he has a coin dispenser on his bat belt, but in the final confrontation with Two-Face, he somehow has it, and he can throw all these quarters up in the air.
If you're going to criticize Schumacher movies like that, we're going to be here all night. Actually, about the Schumacher movies, Batman and Robin, somebody actually made a very valid argument that I can honor about why Batman and Robin was meant to be a certain thing. He was talking about it, and what he said was that it was supposed to be kind of a tribute to the 1960s. Now, follow me on this one, because basically you've got them skating around in this ice labyrinth where all these people are dressed up kind of poorly, and there's all this weird lighting, and literally all you have to do is play the and it looks just freaking like it. It looks like a 90s take on the 60s show. In that context, I can look at Batman and Robin and go, okay, that way it's not so bad. But if I were to take it as a Batman movie, like from the 90s, it is no Dark Knight. Let's just say that.
Oh, yes. Well, getting on to the Dark Knight, it has actually been these new movies like Batman Begins and The Dark Knight that have made me actually appreciate Batman, even if he is just a guy who's at the core in most of them, my parents are dead. Which, it doesn't look like in those new movies, he's not that much that.
He's like, not. It's so much more about the psychosis of what it means to try and
be a hero.
Be a hero, especially in a city that corrupt.
Which I think is a way more interesting story. The whole journey mental into being a hero is the kind of stuff that I like. Which is kind of why I enjoyed Kick-Ass, because it was a whole story about people who had no superpowers and who were going out and being superheroes. And in the end, Kick-Ass actually has a superpower that helps him save the day, but that superpower is the fact that he's gotten beat up so much, he can take a beating.
Yeah.
He's learned how to take a punch, he's got no feeling anymore, he's got metal plates in his jaw, so that everything is built up to him being the superhero that these other people aren't.
I think that the inspiration for that was really from, like, Batman Begins, where it's like, what happens when an ordinary man tries to take the veil of a hero and whatever.
Aren't they, after they do finish Batman Begins, they're moving on to Superman?
Yeah, after they finish The Dark Knight Rises, which is going to be the final film that Christopher Nolan does that's Batman-related, he's going to go on to The Man of Steel.
Which I hope does for Superman what
The Dark Knight did
for Batman Begins did for Batman for me. It's make him into a believable character that I could root for and go, you know what? That even though he's running around in a cape and things, it makes sense. I think it's an entire magnitude more difficult with Superman because he's such this untouchable person.
I just hope that in this next movie, they actually have a villain he can fight. Superman Returns is the Star Trek The Motion Picture of Superman movies. All it is a bunch of glory shots of Superman going like, nah, da, 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 da. It's about him kind of like going, look at me, I'm Superman, and by the way, I have a kid now? So yeah, that's going to get retconned in the next movie, I hope.
Well, the one good thing about that movie was Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor.
Yeah, we got a pretty good meme out of that one. I really hope that they actually have a villain in this next one, and it's not Zod. Because I really don't think that they can do any better than they did with Superman 2. It's like, new before Zod, you know? I really think that that's kind of been played out.
What would you think of Bizarro?
I think Bizarro would be awesome. Let's go ahead and get into something else. Now, you had introduced me to a game earlier today.
Oh, yes. I'm on my Xbox. I'm up in my room playing around, and I see a advertisement for a new game called Bastion. And it advertised itself as a action role-playing game. And so I was interested, and so I downloaded the demo. I started playing the demo. I was intrigued by what they said about it's narrated. I have to say, if you own an Xbox, or I think
I think it's on PS3 also.
I don't know if it's on PS3, but I know that it's either on PC right now, or it will soon be released for PC.
Mm-hmm.
This game is the new Braid for me.
That's what I was thinking. It looked a lot like Braid.
Yeah. It looks different from Braid, but it's the music reminds me of Braid. The visual style kind of reminds me of Braid.
Here's how I can describe it. It's basically imagine the top-down kind of view in Disgaea with the visuals of Braid, yeah. kind of.
Not well. It's a different art style than Braid, and yeah. It's a different. And the music in it is different from Braid. Braid had a whole lot of classical overtones, I would say. The game starts out with your narrator going, and almost in this voice exactly. Now, here's just a kid on a rock in the sky. His whole world gone and blown up. You're just laying there, and until you touch the control panel, as soon as your guy gets out of bed, the narrator goes, "He gets out of bed," you know, and everything you do. The guy comments on. It's not everything that he does. It's every now and again he'll throw in something important about what you did. So it's not like it gets boring about he takes a step.
Yeah, it's not like NASCAR. It's like he's taking a left turn. I thought that was really nifty. Yeah. I thought it was kind of interesting that they did.
I think we should probably give some time to explain the whole premise of the game here. Is you are a kid who's stranded on this rock floating in the sky because your world has been destroyed by a force known only as the Calamity. And as you go through the world and try to find other people and find out what happened and collect these cores to heal this place called the Bastion, you learn what the Calamity is, how it relates to the world, what the Bastion does, and all the while this the narrator is narrating what you do and saying, like, what's happening and giving you little pepper moments that really made me want to hear what he was saying. You have a range of, I think, 10 weapons or so. Mm-hmm. That you can pick from, and they've got like fire bellows and a hammer and a war machete and a bow and a scrap gun. You can carry around any two that you want. So any way you want to play the game is designed to play and work.
I didn't like the hammer, but obviously that's a starter weapon. But man, the machete is just like this all around awesome weapon.
I will have to say that I ended up playing most of the game with the machete once I figured out, but that's because my style is like fast and loose and cut people up and stuff like that.
I also will give you my 2 cents on this. I was kind of playing this half-assed, and I was kind of playing this with, you know, one eye closed because I was like just waking up. But it's kind of a fast-paced game in that you have to know exactly what the hell's going on, and there's so much going on screen.
You have to dodge attacks and do things like that, especially when you're getting higher up there in harder and harder fights. You're going to have to learn how to use your shield, how to roll out of the way.
Because I was kind of, you know, gung-hoing it. Really, what you need to do is you need to just keep dodging and keep slashing away. And a lot of this stuff is also, it's more than just going and killing things with a big stick.
It's incredibly fun. I really, really, really enjoyed this game. If you're looking for a game to pick up and you're wondering if Bastion is worth it, don't take my word for it. Play the demo. You basically go through the first world and then you are done. And it says, buy the full game. And if after you get done with the demo, you're not hungering to know more about this game, that's what I did. I bought it because I was not expecting that I was going to buy a new game. I just wanted to see what it was. I was half expecting to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. It took me a couple days. I beat it. I wasn't playing like straight on through 24 hours a day. And I also was trying to do basically everything in the game in one playthrough, which for the most part I succeeded in. But it's worth your money. It's worth your time.
What kind of rating would you give to people?
I would give this game a 10 out of 10 with 2 thumbs up. All right. I'll say there was one complaint I had about the game, and that is you can assign whichever weapons you want to any buttons. You either have one weapon on the X button, one weapon on the B button. Because when you first pick up the first weapon, it's your hammer, a melee weapon, and they assign it to B. Now the next two weapons are ranged weapons, and they assign them to X. So this game believes that if anything is classified as a ranged weapon, it will be assigned to X, and anything that's a melee weapon, when you pick it up to collect it, will be assigned to B, and it'll just replace whatever you have in there, no choice that you have whatsoever. The issue is, if you were like me, who I decided that I wanted my machete to be on my X button and my ranged weapon to be on my B button, it won't recognize that, and you'll end up with 2 ranged weapons or 2 melee weapons, and that might not be the best loadout if you want to go through something. Even with that, you're still able to complete the game. You're still able to complete the level.
Too long didn't read. Basically, if you don't know what you're doing, you might end up with 2 left shoes, but at least you can still walk.
Yes, exactly.
Just based on what I've played so far, I'll go ahead and give it a half grade vote. Like, I'm not going to give it a 10, but I'll give it a 5. Out of 5, I'll go ahead and right now just having played it, I'll give it a 4 out of 5. And that's because it's really good. I haven't played as much that I should have.
The one thing I would say is the game keeps throwing a couple twists at you. There's a couple stuff you haven't seen yet. And another thing that I want to say is you end up meeting three people. The first person you will meet in the demo, he's the stranger, he's the narrator. Then you meet two other people coming along. One of them's going to be named the survivor, one of them's going to be named the singer. The singer sings this folk song that starts playing in the background when she comes with you to the bastion. And when I started listening to the words of the folk song, I started realizing they were about the world I was in. Because it was talking about, you dig a hole, I build a wall, building up the wall and stuff like that. And it's they're discussing what this nation and this other nation did to each other. And when I realized that, it just added this whole depth of layer to this world that I was exploring and learning more about. And it sucked me in all the more greater. Now, that's just me. You might not like that. You might not care. But the one thing I gotta say is, you have to try this game out. I love it. I'm sure you'll love it. If you don't, you can call me a liar.
You're a liar.
All right. I accept that.
I'd like to also talk about another game that I'm pretty sure anybody who's listening has already played, beaten, shown their friends. I got to play Portal 2 multiplayer with you a while back.
And then I forced you to play the single player.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say that if you haven't played this game...
Do we really need to pimp Portal 2?
I know. That's... I'm just saying. I just want to talk about it for a minute because...
That's like the local newspaper going, have you tried milk? It's delicious.
Did you know it comes from cows?
Oh!
And you can produce it too?
In Canada, it's in bags!
Yes, that's very true.
Yes.
It's fucking delicious. We should talk to some...
We should talk to Canadians. All right.
We should talk to a Canadian.
If you're Canadian and you're listening in, you want to talk to us, drop us a line. We'll try to set something up.
Send us some Tim Hortons and some Molsons, eh?
I don't know what that is.
God, I hate you. Nah. getting back on Portal 2, I'm pretty sure... I'm going to go ahead and say spoilers?
No.
No?
Okay. No. If we are going to give a spoiler, the one spoiler I will give is, turns out ground up moon rocks are pure poison.
Yes. Well, let's just say this. I love the story that they had in the single player, but going into the multiplayer, oh my god. The multiplayer, first and foremost, they did the multiplayer about as good as they could have possibly made a Portal multiplayer. I love the idea of having two people in the mix of it trying to, like, figure out all these different variants now. Because now you've got four different portals to work with.
You know, and the challenges has upped from there.
Oh, my God. Basically, if you haven't picked it up yet, you're either a Satanist
no,
or
you're not.
You just never
if
heard
you,
of Valve.
If you haven't picked it up yet, again, we would say this. We're not going to insult people who haven't played the games we play. We're not that kind of people.
At least not in front of you.
Back to Portal 2, the one thing that I want to say is the only thing that Valve could do, and if Valve is listening, which they're probably not,
or are they?
Is a level editor. A level editor where people can create their own levels, as you said.
Yes, this is actually kind of an exciting thing. I really hope that they do this. Imagine all the Portal 2 mechanics with the accessibility and the kind of freestyle kind of level building that you get with Little Big Planet. I think that right there, it would make it basically a game that you could play for the rest of time.
Yeah, because it's everyone else will be out there and they'll be creating new and different puzzles, and how do I go in and how do I solve this puzzle? And someone might come up with an interesting mechanic to use. Okay, well, how would you use the different gels and different things like that?
Yeah.
And, well, but the one main issue might be the giant penises that people would build, because anytime you give someone...
Welcome to Aperture Science.
Anytime you give someone a development tool, they end up using it to be...
That's one of the first things that ends up getting made, is like, look at this, GLaDOS has a penis.
Well, it's like Yahtzee said about Minecraft, here's your giant golden cock and balls.
pretty much.
Anyway, we're hitting up against time here. We should probably start wrapping up the show.
All right.
One last thing I would like to say, if you've listened to us this long, I hope you give us a email or drop us a message on the Facebook. We'd really love to hear from you. We plan on, at the end of the shows, trying to read a few letters and stuff and talk about what you guys want to talk about. If you have something you want to hear us ramble on about, or you want to say how right we are or how wrong we are, I want to hear, and I know Massey wants to hear, what you have to say. Mm-hmm. So, write in. If you don't want to say your name, don't say your name. We won't be assholes like that. If someone mentions it, we'll cut it out.
Pretty much.
But we love to hear from you guys. We are doing this because we want to entertain you. And we hope you're being entertained.
I feel like in later episodes, we definitely will have more of a structured format, but today it was more of a, hey, let's shoot the shit and kind of see where we go from here kind of thing. I realize it might not have been as structured as it could have been.
We're not apologizing for that. If you guys hate it, you guys want us to be more, you know, buttoned down, give us a call, say that. If you love hearing our conversation tone, give us a call. We want to hear that too.
And remember, we have a Facebook page, so go ahead and like that and be a fan of it. And I'll go ahead and read it every day. I don't know if he will. We'll read as many comments as we can, and we'll totally be interacting on there.
So once again, that Facebook page is www.facebook.com/2geeks, and then 2beers. And our email is
2geeks2beers at gmail.com.
The number 2GEEKS, the number 2BEERS at gmail.com.
And you spell com, C-O-M.
Yes.
So
this has been Brandon Levins.
This has been Brian Massey.
And we're signing off here.
And it's my birthday, so yay. Yep. All right,
we probably
awesome.
We should have mentioned that sooner.
We should have, but, you know, it's cool.
Well, happy birthday, Massey.
Thank you. Thank you. Yay.
Send him cake.
Please.
I dig my hole, you build a wall. Gonna build that city on a hill. Gonna build that city on a hill. Someday those tears are gonna spill. To the sky.